presence, God. I thank you for her. I thank you for her testimony. I thank you for her faithfulness. God, I thank you that she has persevered in hard places, and you truly have been her vision. God, I'm just asking that you would anoint her with the grace of heaven from the top of her head to the soles of her feet. Father, I ask that you would stir up the gift that you have given her, God. Lord, that living water that she spoke of would just be this river that would rush out upon us, God, and we would be caught up in the river of your anointed word tonight. Lord, we come to this table with an open heart. And Father, I ask that it would be easy for her to give what you have given. And may she have joy in the giving. And I thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you. Hey. Hey, everybody. I'm going to preach my entire message sitting in this stool. So, some of you may know me. that would be very out of character for me to preach mine. I'm a little uncomfortable just sitting here right now, actually. This would be out of character. And I feel like one of the, I'm not even to this yet, but I feel like one of the things that the Lord is saying is, take a good hard look at yourself. A good hard look. If you got a compact mirror in your purse, get it out and look at it, show it to whoever's next to you. But take a good look at yourself. Because we have this picture of who we see ourselves to be. When I look in the mirror, this is what I see sometimes. Girl, you've got to do something by the hair. You are not going out of this house without eyeliner and mascara on. You look like death warmed over. Right? And we all kind of do that to ourselves. Guys, you say something different to yourself. I'm sure. I just don't know what it is. You have to think of it for yourself. Okay? I don't know. What? Do you need mascara? I have some extra. I have like 5 different colors of eyeliner too, if that would help. So we have this image of ourselves, and I just, right now, I feel like God is saying, you have a faulty image. You don't know yourself. You don't see yourself how I see you. We sing these beautiful songs about the glory of God, and we're singing about his majesty and how much we love him and we adore him. And we're like this, and you sometimes we're on our knees. And God is saying that same look of adoration that you have on your face for me, that same look of strength that you have sometimes when you're singing, because I do this sometimes, like, yes, God, that's what I do. Like, because I'm feeling strength when I'm doing that. It's him. That same thing that you have, God is saying, I look at you. That's what I see in you. I adore you. I love you. You are strength. You are power. You are might. You are authority. You are all of those things that you ascribe to me, because guess whose image you're made in? The image of the living God. So, now that I'm ready to start, and now that you have a really good picture, I hope, of who you are, I just feel like God doesn't even want to go forward until we can acknowledge that we are the Zion, we are the Jerusalem, we are the children of Israel to whom he speaks throughout his Bible. This word is not for somebody else. This word is not for the church down the road. It's not even, frankly, for this church as an Orfino community church. It is for the capital C church, the church of the living God, the universal church. Every believer, every person who has placed their trust in Jesus Christ as Messiah, this word is for you. So buckle up your seatbelt, because now we're going to get started. So for 2 years now, I've come to this church at the prayer summit, and I've preached a rebuke. Now, I'm not kidding you. I did. If you were here, you heard it, right? First year, like, I threw down the spirit of Jezebel and said, get out, and told, actually, the rebuke was to church leaders because they let Jezebel reside in their churches throughout this valley. And then I went home and I thought, I'm never going to be asked to preach anywhere ever again. Well, to my surprise, they asked me back the next year. And then the Lord had me throw down a rebuke, and he said, you didn't even listen to me last year. Talked to you all about Jezebel. I sweat. I spit. I was a true Pentecostal preacher, and you didn't pay no attention to me. That's what happened the second year. So I threw it down again, and I thought, that's two for two. I know I ain't coming back again. And then they asked me again. This is what I did. Oh, Jesus. Oh, God. Let us have heard you. I am overjoyed. I would preach a rebuke if that's what the Lord said to do, but I'm allowed to ask, please don't make me do that again. And I don't have a rebuke. Everybody say hallelujah. I'm so happy too. Because I kind of like coming here. I'd like to come back next year if y'all will have me. I do, however, feel like I have a gentle admonition. And that's what Christ lovingly spoke to his disciples. All what we're talking about, it's a gentle admonition. He's compelling us to conversion. When he's talking to the disciples, what to pray? Well, I don't can't even find my Bible today. Okay, it's right here. He's talking to people who know him. He's talking to his disciples, and he's saying, I know that we're preaching on the Lord's Prayer, but I want to back up. And I need my glasses because I keep forgetting that I've reached that age. I'm not telling you how old that is. How old do you think I am? How much? 31? You're right. And so are you, whoever said 29. Okay. And holding. All right. I want to back up to verse 5 in Matthew chapter 6. And where he says, this is Jesus speaking. And he's saying, and when you pray. So the first assumption is that the people are praying, right? So, and when you pray, you must not be like the hypocrites. For they love to stand and pray in the synagogues and at the street corners, that they may be seen by others. Truly, I say to you that they have received their reward. But when you pray, go into your room and shut the door and pray to your Father who is in secret. And your Father who is in secret will reward you. And when you pray, once again, assumption that we're praying, when you pray, do not heap up empty phrases as the Gentiles do, for they think that they will be heard by their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him. Pray then like this. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. And many of us add, for thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Jesus is speaking to people who know him, who know him as Messiah. I'm speaking to people that hopefully you all know he's the Messiah. If not, hopefully I'll sense it. We'll get a little bit of evangelism going on up here and we'll see what happens. But Jesus is calling all of us to more than just salvation. He's calling us to conversion. I mean, I look at Peter. Peter's like my kindred spirit, right? Because Peter puts his foot in his mouth all the time. He does dumb stuff. That's me and Peter. We're buds. He tells Peter, be converted. You're not converted. This is about conversion. This is about becoming more than just saved. This is our path to sanctification. And this isn't just a rote prayer that we say, our Father who art in heaven. This is a mode that we pray. This is how we pray. My part, verse 10. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So there's an assumption here that if we have to ask for the kingdom of God to come to us, then by nature we are outside of it. We're not in. And so even though we are now called saints, see, nowhere in Scripture are we called a sinner after we come to know Jesus. We're referred to as saints. We still sin. We're saints who sin. We do dumb stuff. I do dumb stuff all the time. Right? Hopefully our sins are less often. Maybe not as bad. Air quotes around bad. But we can't go to his kingdom because we still sin. His kingdom has to come to us. And it did in the form of Jesus Christ. So we're talking about this kingdom of God that is in heaven that we want on earth. Wouldn't that be cool? So we have this picture of heaven, right? Some of us are walking on streets of gold. Some of us have mansions. Some of us are walking on clouds. Some of us are flying with wings going on. And that's kind of cool too. You know, whatever your picture of heaven is, have at it. But we want that on earth because no matter what our picture of heaven is, we have this sense of joy and peace and hope and no more sorrow, no more pain. We picture that as heaven. Well, that's the heaven that we want on earth now. So what is this, the characteristics of heaven that we want on earth? Well, everybody will know God's love. Wouldn't that be wonderful on this earth? If every single person walking on the ground, breathing in the air, knew the love of God, everybody would have that knowledge. We would be full of knowledge of God. That's the heaven that we're longing to be on earth. How about no more wars? And we know Scripture says there's be wars and rumors of wars. But in heaven, there's no more wars. Wouldn't that be glorious? No more mourning. No more fighting about whether soldiers should or shouldn't be in different parts of the world. They wouldn't need to be. Because there would be that everlasting peace. The nations who build swords are making plowshares now. I don't really know what a plowshare is, but I'm pretty sure it's a farming tool. It's not a sword. I'll make one of those. I'll Google it. In the kingdom of heaven, there's joy. Joy, joy, joy. Every time I say joy, I want to sing that song so bad. I got the joy, 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 joy down in my heart. Down in my heart. Down in my heart. I got the joy, 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 joy down in my heart. Down in my heart to stay. My church is so tired of singing that song. We have joy. We will rejoice in the Lord always. When I hear that word always, I think of that as in even in the circumstances that are less desirable for us. And Habakkuk talked in chapter 3 talked about, You know, although the fig tree shall not blossom, there's no fruit in the vines, the labor of the olive will fail, the fields won't have any meat, the flock will be cut off from the fold, and there shall be no herds in my stalls. That does not sound like a trip to the mall that I want. Yet I will rejoice in the Lord. That kind of joy on earth, that no matter what the circumstances, we are rejoicing. As believers, I hope we have a better handle on that than people who are outside of Christianity and outside of the church. To be in that place of rejoicing no matter what the circumstances, that's what we long for on heaven. That's what we can have on earth if heaven comes to earth. How about hope? Is there not hope in heaven? Oh yeah, there's hope in heaven, but there's hope in the right thing. And the right thing is the Lord. When we have all these hopes and all these dreams right here, and it's like we have this hope, we have this dream, and we go, and so God, will you get on board with me on that? Rather than going, God, what do you want me to hope for? What do you want me to dream for? What is the coming of the Lord? What is that? That's the only real hope when we talk about the heaven that we want to be on earth. The blessed hope of the glorious appearing of God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. That's the hope of heaven that we want to come to earth. So earth is the kingdom of God. No, earth is not. I said that wrong. Heaven is the kingdom of God. There's somebody else ruling earth right now. His name's Satan. We're not going to pay too much attention to him tonight. Heaven is ruled by God. The earth can't physically be ruled by God right now. I mean, it is and it isn't, right? I feel like I'm a little bit like David, except for I'm more of a repeller than a, what did you say yesterday, the skydiver thingy? I got my rope, and I got it on belay. See, earth can't be ruled by God because God has given it over to be ruled by Satan. But earth is ruled by God spiritually. That's in us. There's a spiritual rule that is absolute because our hearts and minds are turned to Jesus Christ. And when our hearts and minds are turned to Jesus Christ, we can't be ruled by the enemy whose name is Satan. Can't. And so the kingdom of heaven can come to earth, and it comes by way of us. Those who call ourselves Christians and who are in truth. The kingdom of God. The kingdom of God. Everybody say the kingdom of God. Just like, do you feel the magnificence in that? I mean, how could you not say the kingdom of God and feel this dynamic greatness that is the kingdom of God? If God is omniscient and he's omnipresent and he's sovereignty, he's the creator. He's the ruler. He knows all. He does all. Everything is God. And if that's the kingdom of heaven that we want on earth, that's pretty big. That's pretty huge. That's dynamic. That's, I can't even say the words for it. It's so awesome. That tree is scaring me a little bit. I think I'm like Pastor Arby. I have a lot more room in my church. I'm going to knock something over. Okay, back on track. Focus. Our expectations for the kingdom of heaven on earth should be magnificent. We should be ambitious for that. You got hopes, you got dreams. Many of us have these big pictures of things that we want, and we dare to dream, and God wants us to dare to dream. We have to dare to dream for his kingdom and his magnificence, because if we don't, then how is that greatness of God coming to earth? It has to in us. We have to. Here's the interesting thing. The greatness of the kingdom of heaven depends on us, because God doesn't have to use us. I just said he's omniscient, he's omnipresent, he can do what he wants, when he wants, how he wants to. He doesn't need us. He wants us. He wants to work through his people. And so all that greatness, all that magnificence that he wants to do through us requires our ambition, and at the same time, it requires us to make ourselves these little teeny tiny things. I must decrease that he may increase. I have to make myself lower. I have to not seek after my glory when I'm seeking after the glory of the kingdom of heaven. I must decrease, because if I want the kingdom of heaven to be on earth, I got to get out of the way. I can't be in the way of that greatness, because God in his gentlemanliness will let me stay there until I'm ready to move. I have to. See, when the gospel informs our minds as Christians, you want a right worldview? You want to know what you should think about all the hot button topics that we talk about politically? It's right here. When this becomes our worldview, and when we're not afraid to say what is our worldview that is biblical, that is when we are saying, okay, this kingdom of God is coming through us spiritually. That's our thoughts. So then there's our actions. Oh, action-oriented Christianity. Christianity is not some club that we go to, that we hang out in church once a week, and we have our fellowships and our Bible studies, and we have our prayer summits. We do those things, but there is an action required. You want that magnificence? Beloved, I say this, and I don't know what I'm saying. I'll just say, this ain't magnificence. This prayer summit, this gathering of believers in this room is not magnificence. Oh, it is for us individually. Don't get me wrong. But when we talk about the greatness of the kingdom of God and the magnificence of that, this ain't it. And we have to acknowledge that. And we have to say, oh, but if we're this little tiny piece, and then there's this piece and this piece and this piece, and then we just keep growing, then we get to magnificence. So we have a part, but we can't put our blinders on and say, oh, I've arrived. Because that's not magnificence. The kingdom of God does not exist by just the things that we say. It does not exist just by the gathering of the believers. The kingdom of God on earth, I'm talking about, is about our action. It is about power. It is about moving, and everything that we do that seeks after his glory is done with the power of the living God that dwells in us. There is this exponential amount of power that we have access to that we don't get. Pastor David talked yesterday a little about the authority. That's ours. That is ours to have, not to misuse, and not to bring about our glory, but it's for the glory of God. See, when we are praying for the kingdom of heaven to come to earth, we are praying that our will become yielded to his. We are praying that everything that we do that he says stop doing, we'll stop doing. We are praying that everything he says do that we don't want to do, we start doing. Okay? There's one thing about praying. There's another thing about doing. They go together. The whole reason we pray is so that what we're doing is in accordance to the power of God and what he is saying, what his ordainment is for our part of the magnificence. So be ambitious. Be magnificent. God's magnificent. You're in his image. Everybody say, I'm in God's image. Say, I'm magnificent. Now say, I am ambitious. Now believe it. So I said earlier, we're praying for the kingdom to come, that we would yield our will to his will. We want his comfort. We want his teaching. We want to be shaped. We want to be guided by God. But what if the will of God in our lives is distressing? What if the will of God in our lives makes us miserable? But it's what brings about the kingdom of heaven to earth. Are we still willing? Are we still praying, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven? Because not all of the people in the Bible had a glorious, wonderful life and total comfort. In fact, I'm pretty sure in the history that I read, all of the disciples were crucified. Step one. Thank you. I love that there's always a statistician in the crowd. And it is never me. See, aiming high and thinking big means that whatever God says is what we will do. The whatever. Whatever. Are we willing to be part of the whatever? Oh, I'll be part of the whatever if you're uncomfortable. I'll come pray for you. I'll bring you some soup and a warm beverage. What is the show that I'm thinking of? Thank you. Big Bang Theory. But what if that's me? What if what is going to happen means I need you to bring me soup and a warm beverage? Am I still thy will be done? Interestingly, when I was reading about this and I was studying out this, I was like, okay, thy will be done. Thy will be done. What's the will be done in heaven? How's that work? And so, like, you're all like, oh, this is easy. But for me, it wasn't easy because I was not there yet. I'm like, well, in heaven, just like on earth, I said on earth, God's work is done through people. Well, in heaven, God's work is done through angels. Right? So, ready? Put your, what is, en belay? It's been a long time since I've rappelled. Play on. If we want the kingdom of heaven to become the kingdom, we got to act like the angels. Now everybody say, I'm an angel. I want to be an angel. See, we have to live like the residents of heaven while we're the residents of earth in order to have the kingdom of heaven on earth. The kingdom of God on earth. We have to live like the residents of heaven. The residents of heaven are the elect and the angels. We're going to focus on the angels tonight. See, Adam gave us physical life, and we have that, and we all know that we're children of the curse. Thank you, Adam and Eve. But we also are born of Jesus Christ. We have spiritual life. And we have the capability to live both of them on this earth. To be the kingdom of heaven on earth. The Holy Spirit that comes to us when we give our hearts to the Lord, when we come into relationship with Jesus Christ, gives us freedom to act and to live in these ways that everybody else thinks is constricting because it gives us parameters, it gives us boundaries. Well, I happen to think that there's more freedom within those boundaries because I don't have to worry about falling off the cliff. Because there's a little gate right up above it. God's angels lived in service. That's all they did was serve. Their whole purpose was to serve. Everything that they did was to serve. And they were content about it. And they were unquestionably, when God said, go do something, they didn't say, well, when did you want that done? I got to check my schedule. Can I do that tomorrow? How much did you want that done? Do you have any idea what I have to do? Do you have any idea? Why don't you get Gabriel to do it? I'm a little busy this week. No, they said, okay. That's what the angels did. And not everything that they did was all that wonderful. Michael with his flaming sword called the warfare. Yeah, that sounds all well and good. But warfare is not fun. People die in warfare. And there's spiritual death that happens too. There's the parallels between physical warfare and spiritual warfare are very real. It is not fun to be at war. It sounds glamorous, but it's really not. Michael fought flaming sword. Gabriel, he had to go deliver news that wasn't all that well received. I'm going to be what? I'm going to be pregnant? What are you talking about? You want me to marry her? She's pregnant, right? But nobody wants to deliver bad news, but Gabriel did. God said, go do it. He did it. Cherubim, all they did was stand at the gates of paradise. They're still there. They've been there a long time. Nobody even really thinks of them. But they're faithful to what God told them to do, and they still stand guard. Some of the angels looked like wheels. What? Now talk about mascara and eyeliner. They were unquestioning. They were obedient. Whatever God said, that's how it was. It didn't matter if they liked it or not. So to have the kingdom of earth become as the kingdom of heaven, we have to live like earth is heaven. We have to make Christ the center of everything. We have to freely do the will of God. What is the will of God? Okay, I rolled my eyes a little bit. I didn't mean to do that. And this is why. Because in the last 8 months, I've grown weary of having conversations about my identity in Christ. I know you did a study on it. I have no idea what your study was about. I hope I'm not disparaging it, but I need to say this. So forgive me. Ask me back next year. I promise I'll be better. Our identity is Christian. That's it. I'm a Christian. Christian means of Christ. It is a beautiful term to be of Christ. People in the world don't like it. I don't care. Ephesians were of Ephesus. Philippians were of Philippi. Christians are of Christ. I'm a Christian. That's my identity. Purpose is different. Purpose is different. Purpose is about how do we act out? What do we do? How do we do the will of God? The will of God is about sanctification. So if my identity is a Christian and I'm doing the will of God towards sanctification, then I'm looking at purpose. How is each one of you in this room and me, how are we called to do sanctification as Christians? Okay? The will of God, there's freely doing the will of God, freely fulfilling your purpose as a Christian. Well, what's the will of God? There's a whole, will of God. I'd still be reading my scriptures. But they all point to a couple things. They point to salvation. They point to sanctification. They point to thanksgiving in all things. They point to doing good. And then the greatest commandment. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all your heart, mind, and soul. And you shall love your neighbor as yourself. In this is all the law. So all those scriptures that I read are summed up in those. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, and soul. And the other one is just like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. There's the action toward each other that we're commissioned to do. So angels fulfill the will of God. They minister to God and they minister to people. Now, I want to say something else about the kingdom come, thy will be done. This is not, God help me to endure thy will patiently. Right? This isn't about enduring the will of God. This is about thy will be done. That it be accomplished. And that we be happy about it, whatever it is. Even if it's distressing to us. Because the will of God is about salvation and sanctification. I hope my sanctification is comfortable. I'll be honest with you. I ain't gonna lie. Why would I lie about something like that? But if it's not, I hope I'm willing to do it anyway. Because the angels will. I want to count it an honor to serve. I want to count it an honor to do whatever he says to me. I want to count it an honor to bring the kingdom of heaven to earth. I'm going to count it an honor to live like the angels. Well, what did angels do? Angels, first of all, ministered to God. There's scriptures about them singing, "Worthy is the Lamb, holy, holy, holy." They went and did things that God told them to do. It was pouring bowls out on the earth with harmful and painful sores, right? Like, who wants that job? Back to not doing pleasant things that God asks you to do, but they did it anyway. And they ministered to God. Holy, holy, holy. When we stand in worship of God, and when we are obedient to what God says, then we minister to God. That's what the angels did. You want the kingdom of heaven on earth? Minister to God. Worship Him. Be obedient to Him. Unquestioningly. Without reservation and without things that have to come first. Besides just ministering to God, angels minister to people. Michael was one of the chief princes. He helped Daniel. Hebrews 1:14 says, "Are they not all ministering spirits sent out?" Why? Not sent out to make you comfortable. Sent out to serve for the sake of those who are to inherit salvation. When we serve, ready? With the right motives. When we serve with the right motives, we bring heaven down to earth. So the purpose of our service is for the sake of salvation and sanctification. That's it. We're all going to do that different ways, but that's the purpose. At no time did the angels serve because they wanted to be all that, except Lucifer. But remember, we said we weren't going to pay much attention to him tonight. It's a different story. Maybe next year. No. Oh, God. I just did. When we serve with the right motives, we bring heaven down to earth. Angels, I said earlier, angels deliver messages from God. Messages to Joseph, message to Zechariah, message to Elizabeth, message to Mary. And they did these without fear. The angel said, "Oh, I got a message, all right. I got something to tell you. You ain't gonna like this, but here it is anyway. You good? Good, we're good, all right. Good luck." No. No. That's not how the angels did it. I probably would not be one of the message delivering angels. There's no fear. And we don't need to have fear either on this earth. So we don't, what the Holy Spirit's gonna teach us what to speak. God says, go talk to them. Well, I don't know what to say. I don't care. Go talk to them anyway. Well, you better go talk. And not be afraid of what you're going to say, because open your mouth and the Holy Spirit's going to fill it and you're going to say exactly what needs to be said. God says, I will strengthen you. I will help you and I will uphold you. There is no fear to us who have that power and authority of Jesus Christ in us. The angels weren't afraid. You want heaven to come to earth? Live like the angels. Put the fear. Don't even put it on the shelf. Throw it out the back door. Angels guide. Angels direct the paths of footsteps. Always toward the will of God. Always. Remember when Peter was told to go to Cornelius? And he was like, "I ain't going to that guy. That's not my kind of people." Right? And God said, "I don't care who's your kind of people. You go." This, when I talk about it, this is like the MIV version, Maria's inspirational version. So Peter's like, "They're not my kind of people. I am not going to talk to them." God said, "You go talk to them right now." Like this, that's how I know that that's how it went with God and Peter, because me and Peter, I think, we're really close alike, and that's what the conversation would be like. "I don't care what I told you to go. You get going." Peter kicking rocks and goes. And the result of that obedience that Peter had was salvation and a filling of the Holy Spirit. How much greater can that be? Now imagine Peter if he wouldn't have gone. Imagine Peter seeing what happened and wondering, why was I making that so hard? See, we don't have to make it hard whenever we're told to go. God directs our footsteps, and things that he tells us to go and do, he has ordained. If he said go and do it, there's nothing to worry about. Even if it's distressing to you, there's still nothing to worry about. Because the God that I serve, and hopefully the God that you serve, is going to give you whatever you need to get through the distressing stuff. There's pain involved, God will help you out. You hungry? God will help you out. You scared? God will help you out. You sad? God will help you out. No matter what it is, God will help you out. Do the will of God. The angels did. You want heaven on earth? Be like the angels. Angels provide. Elijah was fleeing from Jezebel. She's scary. She's not scary to us anymore because we've heard about it in this church. We twice now. And I'm pretty sure we kicked her out. And if she's come back, would you go escort her? Because we don't have time for her today. Elijah was fleeing from Jezebel. And he just like, just kill me. I'm done. She's scary and I'm going to die anyway because she's one tough cookie. I'm just going to lay under this and I'm going to starve to death. What a random way to wish to die. But anyway, that's a different story. Angels came and provided for him. They fed him. And they gave him rest. And they gave him nourishment. And that's what angels do. They provide. Jesus himself said, you give me food. You give me drink. You give me shelter. You visit the sick. You visit the poor. That's me you're doing that for. When you do that to others, you're doing it for me. So if we're going to live like the angels who provided for the very needs of God's people on earth, then we too will provide for the needs of God's people on earth. I don't care if you don't want to go visit them because they're sick, because you might get the cooties. Go anyway. I don't care if you don't want to go to the jail because you don't want to show your ID. Go anyway. Get over yourself. That's what God would say to me. He might be a little kinder to you. He might say, I think it would be beneficial for you. He would tell me, get over yourself. And frankly, sometimes many of us need to hear that. See, because when we provide for the physical needs of each other, too, by the way, I'm not negating each other. We have to provide for each other. But I really want to call out, and the poor. There's a stigma attached to people who are poor, people who are mentally ill, people who are criminals. We don't want to get too close. It might be catchy. This stuff ain't contagious. You can't catch being a felon. You make a dumb choice. That's how that happens. Go, minister. You want the kingdom of heaven to be on earth? Then go, act like the angels, because they did. Angels protect and angels guard. Here's that flaming sword. I want a flaming sword. I don't want to deliver messages. You don't want me to deliver messages. Psalm 91:11 says, he will command his angels concerning you to guard you in all your ways. I said we do dumb stuff, right? There's guardian angels that are going, don't do that, don't do that, don't do that. Push you out of the way, right? I believe that. I've been pushed out of the way a few times. Sometimes wish they were a little faster or God would commission a couple more for me. But they protect and they guard. Acts 20 and 28 says, pay careful attention to yourselves and to all the flock in which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers to care for the church of God. Now, this wasn't just written to pastors and ministers. You all belong to the flock. One flock, many bands. You all belong to the flock. Watch out for each other. Protect each other. Guard each other's hearts. We are not at war with each other. We are at war with an enemy whose name is Satan, who wants to steal and to kill and destroy. And if we want to live as if the kingdom of heaven is on earth, we live it out. We protect each other. Somebody's talking bad about somebody else. Don't entertain it. Go talk to them. You want to quash a gossip fest really fast? Say, I'm going to go talk to them. Can I quote you on that? I ain't lying because I've done that. And they mostly say no. And I say, well, then don't tell me because I'm going to quote you. It's that simple. Don't do it. Protect each other. Guard each other. We have guardian angels. What if we were all each other's guardian angel? Would not it be a beautiful earth? As if in heaven, where we all felt safe and secure. See, when we live like the residents of heaven, then we live as if the kingdom of heaven has been brought to the kingdom of earth. And beloved, the angels are excited about what is happening in the sons and daughters of man in the name of Jesus Christ. They're excited about that. We should be excited, too, to live as an angel. I'm going to close reading two scriptures. The first is from Ephesians chapter 3, verses 8 and 10. And I'm going to read this from the Message Bible. And so here I am, preaching and writing about things that are way over my head. The inexhaustible riches and generosity of Christ. And yet my task is to bring out in the open and make plain what God, who created this, all this in the first place, has been doing in secret and behind the scenes all along. Through followers of Jesus like yourselves, gathered in churches, this extraordinary plan of God is becoming known and talked about even among the angels. Live on earth as the angels live in heaven. Acts 13 and 22. And when he had removed him, he raised up David to be their king, of whom he testified and said, I have found in David, the son of Jesse, a man after my own heart, who will do all my will. God is not looking for perfect people. God is looking for people who are looking for perfection. And that is you. That is you who call yourself Christian. Let's pray. Father, thank you that you have made a way for the kingdom of heaven to be found on this earth. Thank you, God, for giving us ministering angels. Thank you for giving us angels that protect and that guide and that speak into our lives and that provide for us. May we live like those angels. May we protect one another. May we seek to guide each other with the word of God. May we seek to provide for each other and to provide for a world out there that doesn't even know that they need you. May we speak the messages that you put in our mouths. May we go where you tell us to go. May we say what you tell us to say, and may we do what you tell us to do. May your kingdom of grace and of mercy swallow up the kingdom of earth. May all Christians be filled with righteousness and peace and joy and holiness and happiness. Father God, make us perfect. Make every good work that we do pleasing in your sight. God, we pray for the establishment of your kingdom on this earth and the kingdom of men. In the name of our precious Lord Jesus, amen. That's all I got.
So let's close in worship. As Maria was speaking, all I could think about was, you know, the angels that stand in the throne room, and they say, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is holy." And they've been saying it for, you know, I heard a minister say that when he was studying Revelation 4 and 5 and all that, he was like, "Oh, I felt so bad for those angels. They're just, you know, can they have a break and like they like trade off? Can it be like?" And God spoke to his heart and said, "No one makes them stay. No one makes them stay. You see, you become what you behold." And they stand there, and their job is to look into the holiness of God and declare out what they see. And the closest word that they can get is holy, holy, holy. You know, and then there's those beautiful wings that then close up over the eyes, and then they can't stand it, and they take another peek, and they look into the beauty of God, and all they can say is holy. And no one could drag them out of that place. That's what's waiting for us. And that's what's now. You know, as Terry talks about the now and the not yet, this is that. If we're to live like that, then let's ask for that. Let's ask for a vision of the beauty of God, that we are so fascinated with just one glimpse of his heart that the rest of our life we declare, holy, holy, holy. And we tremble when we think about it. We don't have to wait till Sunday morning or prayer summit or fill in the blank. Let's just be before him. He is in us. The indwelling life of Christ, this beautiful kingdom reality, is now. And it is to come. So let's live in the now. Let's ask for a vision of the beauty and the holiness that awaits us now. Amen? So lead us, Kathleen, and let's worship. Stand with us and let's worship.